I just woke up for this bullshit. But hello everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fun with Flame. I'm your host, Daniel the Flame. And I watched the third season of Titans recently. Boy. Now, I once did a review for the first season of Titans, which was okay. And I do believe, like, I just ignored doing a review for the second season because really, I actually liked the second season. I just, you know, didn't get around to actually talking about it. But for this one, because, you know, content, I'm going to talk about it since I sat my ass down and actually watched the damn thing. And I gotta say, Titans season three is, it's okay, but it has so many problems. Like I said, I just woke up. But it has a lot of problems. Now, the thing is that I would recommend someone watch this. If you watch season two, season three is a good little going over to. You know, it's not as dark and depressing as season one. Glad that they still kept away from that. Yes, the inclusion of different characters and different things within their lore, starting up stuff, they're doing okay, but it's just so many, it's stupid problems, because it's like small shit. The series is literally a 50-50 for me. Well, not the series, the season is literally a 50-50 for me. And I've said this about movies like Spider-Man 2, you know, where it's like half of the shit in it is great and half of it is terrible, so it just keeps it a perfect even for me. You know, I could watch it, but I ain't crying because of the bad stuff in it. So same thing with Titan season three. The overall assessment is that essentially they kept everything too safe. The notion of being really in this vain attempt to try and be edgy in some aspects, and it was like not dark and depressing, but more edgy than anything. This has always been an issue with like comic books in general, trying to make characters appealing towards a younger generation. But the weirdness of trying to be edgy because you have a bunch of edgy brand characters, Blackfire, Jason Todd, fucking, who's another person who kept cursing all the time? Barbara Gordon. You know how edgy Barbara Gordon is. So she's someone who would say, you know, who would talk the way that she talks within the show all the time. It didn't make any sense. Well, it not that it didn't make any sense. It just, it didn't fit. The dialogue was really bad on certain moments. And one thing, these people love the word fuck way too goddamn much. Like, they just love the word fuck. They said it so many times, it was just annoying. Sometimes it was like, it made sense. Like, whoever wrote for Jason Todd, yes, it fit. For his character, him being as young as he is and saying it, it was appropriate. So he's like, what the fuck is that? Who the fuck are you? Like, yes, that shit fit with him. But then there's like a scene with Barbara Gordon talking to that black chick who I thought was like her lieutenant, but then they made her be something else because, yeah, all Gotham City cops are just immediately corruptible, which was fucked up. But you had her basically being like, you know, like, what's happening? It's just like, well, I could learn if you stop looking over my fucking shoulder. And it was like, no one talks like that. I was like, you wouldn't talk like that. It didn't make any sense to speak like that towards her, nor was it necessary to even curse. And it felt so out of place and weird that when she said it, that's why like my eyebrow raised, because I was like, what the fuck was that? So it is weird. It had very weird dialogue choices. They just, everyone kept saying fuck, and it got annoying because it was like, you guys don't need to cuss this much to essentially show that, yeah, you know, we're for the edgy teenagers. Yeah, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck. And I had nothing but weird it felt weird. It felt weird, and it was weird, and it threw off a lot of moments that happened in the movie to me, because it was like, why the hell are you guys like talking like that? It's just ugh, just wrong. Wrong. So the overall consensus of the series is that itself just had way too many goddamn issues that kind of undermined a lot of the moments in the series that were actually good. Tim Drake being the person who figured out how Dick Grayson is actually Robin, and then concluding that he was Nightwing, and then also pinpointing like the time that he was Robin, the time that he was with the Flying Graysons, then bringing that to somebody's attention in order to then claim that he wants to be the next Robin. Yes, that's within his story. But he did this towards Dick, which was out of place and weird, and that's not something that Tim does. Also, Tim wants to be Robin, but the series ends with him going off with Dick. Why would Dick train the next Robin? It seems as if, even though it had this weird-ass storyline of, making Jason Todd Red Hood and everything was okay and fine, they still should have had it to where the person who intervened with the person who intervened and like basically got someone to admit that Tim Drake should be Robin should have been Bruce Wayne. The show probably would have had a stronger concept if it was to do it to where Bruce Wayne essentially was just going around super depressed and not really wanting to be Batman anymore. Most of the Titans questioning him and arguing with the fact that he did so much, but now he's shook because Jason Todd's death is like his biggest mistake and his biggest failure. And then even upon the revival of Jason Todd, is not something that he himself wants to interact with, as he just still finds it his fault, and everything just kind of still progresses the way that it should, rather than having him be this sad sack who goes halfway around the world into a fucking mansion that like, or a castle that is like, okay, and then he tries to set it on fire and kill himself, which was like, what? And then Donna Troy, after she comes back to life, saves him somehow. Like, she was like smoke or something, but then later in the series, we see her walking and taking forever to get from point A to point B for no fucking reason. Just terrible. Like, that was bad. It was just really bad. And instead, it was like, wouldn't it have been better if you just had Bruce Wayne going around, or no one could find him. He's just being a sad sack, not caring about what's happening with Gotham and watching everything take place and whatnot. And then you introduce Tim as someone who basically understood the Deuce and figured out where Bruce was. And then he spends the remainder of the series trying to convince him in order to become the next Robin, which he would be successful in, as his persistence, his tenacity, and then him bringing up and talking about the different things Batman has done for Gotham help out with that actual conclusion. And then it showcases and begins Tim's training. Instead, we got Tim talking to Dick, who then immediately tries to ignore everything that's going on with Tim, or like, because he figured it out and I was like, yeah, kid, I don't know what to tell you. And it's like, all right, whatever. And that itself cascades down into Tim basically exclaiming that that they all need his help, which also isn't something that makes sense, because we don't have him working out or looking up things or anything like that, or showcasing that, you know, like he's put in the work, or he's put in the work to try to become a Robin or to try to do something. But then you just have him casually walk up someplace after he sees a guy drop a fucking gun out of his pocket. He still walks up, doesn't run away or try to hide or anything, but just looks and then waits for the guy to come back out, casually walk and then picks up his gun, aims it at him, and then shoots him. And all while this was happening, it never dawned on him to fucking run until the very last moment, and then he was shot in the back. And then that was supposed to be a segue into him being in the afterlife, in which he basically brings Donna Troy from wanting to be dead so we can bring her back to life. No and yes, I actually didn't mind what that was, but it's still stupid. You know, and it was like, that could have been really anybody else, especially considering that it was like with Tim, it was just like a bullet went through him. And so they were just trying to, you know, save his life during, like, he was in the ambulance or something like that. That could have happened to Beast Boy. Well, he already died. But that could happen to another character that they could have introduced or something like that. Didn't necessarily have to be Tim. I'm saying, like, introduce Tim along with another character that could possibly join the Titans. It could have been done with a plethora of amount of different people. Someone who is aware or knows about them as well, and is like either seeking out the Titans for help or something like that, would have been a nice way to introduce Tara, if they was to have her come up or something like that. You know, this girl who basically was looking for the Titans, and while the Titans are dealing with what they're dealing with, they don't necessarily want to be bothered with her, but she keeps trying to persist and get their attention and whatnot, and then this can lead into another way of Slade coming back. But the series itself was kind of really fucking closed-minded, and this was like, this was a major, major problem with the series as a whole. Much unlike the second season, which essentially started off as fixing what the first season ended on, you know, them getting rid of Trigun and everything, and the Titans essentially declaring themselves to come back. We then have the whole incident with Slade, which basically was a character that dealt with so many different layers of different conflicts, different concepts, and other characters being introduced, much like Rose, who was his daughter, and figuring out and understanding what the Titans were about and basically being a spy for him, as well as everyone's secret when it came with Jericho, where it was like they actually used Slade's son against him and wound up getting him killed. Slade himself being able to mess with the Titans and damn near is responsible for killing Aqualad, who was in love with Donna Troy. Oh, so much shit that was interesting just with these characters being introduced. Jason Todd coming in to play Dick Grayson, basically feeling kind of slated by what happened with Jason Todd, introducing Bruce Wayne, not introducing, but having Bruce Wayne come back. And just, there was so many different things that they did within the second season of Titans that just made it feel like, you know, this is something that the comic books would do, because these characters have other shit going on rather than just being focused on Batman shit. But this season was just focused on Batman shit, but at the same time, it was undermining Batman. A clever thing that they keep constantly doing within DC, to essentially be like, you know, Batman's our biggest IP, but at the same time, we want other things to be bigger than him. I've said this before. They systematically constantly bring Batman down while they raise other things up in relation to Batman. So much like how Harley Quinn now is like, even in her own TV show, fucking has been in the Batcave, you know? Or like, so many people know of the different locations and the different things from Batman stuff, like the Batcave. People know Bruce Wayne is Batman, and it's basically taken as like a whatever, like that's not a big deal, or such an easy a thing that's so easy to figure out and understand, and it's like, ah, whatever. It's a long time coming. I mean, they literally did the same thing with Injustice. I mean, not Injustice, that's a movie, with the Young Justice season 3, which literally had everyone that was associated with the Bat family go against the regular Justice League, as well as the Young Justice. They never gave their team a name, have they? Or the Young Justice. And essentially, you having it to where Black Lightning just basically calls them all out on their bullshit for essentially operating without the League's knowledge, doing whatever they can to help people, because it's all for the sake of the mission, because that's who Batman is. And basically being chastised for the fact that they're going behind everyone's back to save everyone, because if they did things the proper way, it wouldn't work, you know? And it's like being secretive and manipulating people. This isn't what I was doing this for. And it was like, yeah, if you want to go around saving people, much like with Spider-Man and whatnot, that's fine. You get glory for that. But at the same time, that's not stopping the overwhelming criminal masterminds that got their roots seated deep within the underbelly of like people, you know. And it's like, you're dealing with galactic entities that are trying to take over the fucking world using different means of like technology and whatnot and stopping everyday criminals, you wouldn't have found out that information and been able to do that. The Young Justice season 3 is really stupid. And then Black Lightning wound up sleeping with a chick who was crazy. So you're like, why the fuck would he be left as the leader of the Justice League? You know, and it's like when you still have Superman around, get the fuck out of here. But whatever. But it's like, again, like that's just, there's more things that prove or like does stuff that like basically try to knock Batman and the rest of the crew down in order to build up other characters, but they have to have them related to what's going on with Batman. So one of the major contributors of the Young Justice season 3 was all Batman people, but all the Batman people were just basically inadequate and fuck ups. Hell, having Dick going around trying to remember Wally, even though he's dead, when it's like, this wouldn't be, he wouldn't do this, but whatever. Like, oh, he's a sad sack. The guy who basically, whose parents died, and then he fights crime the same way with the other guy who trained him to basically deal with that grief by fighting crime. He's sad. He's so sad. He's just sad. Fuck Young Justice. But the Titans basically had the same thing happening. You got Dick damn near doing the same little fever dreams that he did in the second season already, as well as constantly keeping people in the dark about different stuff and then having to come back and apologize for it. He's done that already. And it's like, there's absolutely no type of character growth with this guy. He's just doing the same shit all over again because it seems like they ineptly don't know how to write him. You've proven that he's been the leader and people respect what he says, and then they essentially do what he says all the time. But then you just keep constantly having him keep everyone in the dark when it's unnecessary to do that. Everyone there knows the plan. There's nothing to worry about in terms of there being a spy or whatever like there was in the previous season, as well as the need of an overall secrecy from the new group of people joining the Titans from the old group of people who were in the Titans who knew about what the incident with Jericho and everything, and then trying to keep that under wraps. It's a different story. So his actions should be different. It shouldn't be the exact same because they don't make sense to be exactly the same. These people know, these people are in the fucking Batcave for crying out loud. And it's like, we're all taken care of and handling Gotham. This shit shouldn't be done to say, and then trying to squeeze in a love interest between him and Barbara Gordon, who's in the wheelchair, mind you, without actually further developing or trying to increase the notion of Starfire and Dick being a possible thing or something like that. Just because you had wonderful, the banter and the back and forth with a bunch of the characters was fantastic. There's just so many moments where it was like, yeah, that was great. I just wish it was more like the second season, which showed them be normal around one another multiple times. The increased affection between Raven and Dick Grayson, because essentially at this point in time, the motherfucker is like a big brother to her. Gar basically being someone who's so casually able to express the kid fun loving side of Beast Boy, but then, you know, is also serious, smart, and like now that they have him well trained and shit like that, he's like just someone who's able to bring in a whole bunch of hilariousness. Like having the moment when he was the bat and he like turned into the second time and then he like flew into the window. Like, yeah, that type of stuff, you know, like this has nothing to do with dialogue, but I'm just talking about the character now. But yeah, like that type of thing. And then having him when he see Raven after he was like tranquilized and he's just super casual about it. He, Rachel? Hey, I'm sleepy. You know, like stuff like that. And it was like, yeah, that's a nice little Beast Boy going on. But there's just so much that the series did that just kind of was just weird. Like Starfire basically talking and being a relationship, I guess a relationship with the fucking Shrink, who ultimately is only on for like a couple episodes. Then she like calls him once about tripping. She was like having these fever dreams or whatever. And then he just goes away. He never shows up within the rest of the season. And I was very confused. And I was like, I thought they were trying to do something with this, pursue a relationship or something like that. I don't know. He just disappeared. Because as soon as after that, they introduced Blackfire. And then it was like, well, this dude is whatever. So odd. just very odd. Not a moment where he like calls her and then she kind of hangs up abruptly because it's like, I'm busy or something like that. And it's like, anything to help that, like they didn't do. But I missed the back and forth that like she had with Raven from the second season. Like one of my favorite things was when they were arguing in the car and she was like, well, you're just an alien. And then it was like when it was over, when they apologized to each other, she's like, I'm sorry, you're not an alien. You're like the coolest person ever. She was like, I didn't mean that. And it was like, it's okay, I know. And they had their own little handshake and everything because of how close they are. Like that stuff, it humanized them, and then it let you see, you know, it added more to the nature of the Titans because of the fact that, you know, essentially they are young. So yeah, they do dumb young people shit all the time. And it's cool that they have that. You know, but it's like, I wish they would have had more of that within season 3. They really didn't. It was like just way too much shit was like on edgelord level of stuff. Especially with the main bad guy of this season being Scarecrow of all people. And unwelcomed and unwarranted concept, especially deviating from the tenacity of Slade from the last one, Deathstroke, if you don't know. But the tenacity of Slade from the last one, and then his involvement with the Titans history overall, as well as being such an impactful person to just everyone, past, present, you know, past and present members. It just seems like a huge fall from that villain for this one to basically be a Batman villain that everyone's just not equipped to deal with because they're not Batman. It's really fucking weird. It was really, really fucking weird. They could have did that better. It could have been someone else. It didn't have to be Scarecrow, but you also could have had it to where Scarecrow was another villain doing stuff, like making moves while there was another villain persisting and bothering them and whatnot, as well as you should have had the notion to introduce or to bring up a brand new concept of a villain showing up. I thought that's what the case of Superboy being when he blew up Blackfire's ship, and like the look that man gave, the look that man gave when he just did that shit calm and casually and just stood there as everyone else flew back from the explosion. I thought that was dope, but I thought it was going to be a thing where it was like he just felt betrayed and then he runs off on his own and then someone else gets a hold of him or something like that. Or he like goes to Lex Luthor and then you introduce that character within the Titans. A great many things could have happened, or they could have did something to set up the next season rather than kind of just wrap up like, we're a happy family. Yeah, yeah. Because the last season ended with a depression note, with a depressing notion of essentially Donna Troy being dead, and then Raven going to Themyscira. Yeah, that, you know, that was like, I got it. You know, Jason Todd basically clearly showing signs that he's gonna go and be the bad boy Jason Todd now. But hell, I was more interested in the fact that you know, we didn't have Rose still around, who would have been an incredible character to have within the Titans, still dealing with Jason Todd, especially while he was doing Red Hood shit. Having her around with the with Jericho, just so much shit that they could have did with that, considering that they introduced her as. And then I was like, well, where did she go? Like, what happened with Red Rose? Like, what? Oh man. Or just introducing another Titan member that didn't that wasn't necessarily just someone within the Bat family, another young character that they were trying to nurture and show powers to, but then at the same time was dealing with a bunch of bad shit, you know? And it was like, we got everyone else still coming into their own or their powers and understanding relationships and whatnot, but still the need of having the like newer characters or other people or other conflicts pop up would be very welcome. But having Tim, especially all that they had him do within this entire season, that wasn't enough. Like, that, it just not enough to be like, oh yeah, this is, you know, that's totally cool. But it's like, we got another normie guy, but he literally doesn't even, he's not even trained to do anything. So why the normie guy? I don't understand that mindset itself of just blatantly not placating or having more characters and whatnot. Oh, and let's talk about Tim Drake, shall we? So with Tim Drake in this season of Titans felt like a whiny, impetuous child who just didn't understand anything and was ultimately useless. Just fucking useless. He did nothing of importance. How great would it have been if showing Donna Troy in the deaf world or whatever, you realizing that, yeah, it's a deaf world. It would have been something that was done with like some random innocent bystander being introduced and then her trying to help them out when they were escaping the train and whatnot. And just a random innocent victim from dealing with Scarecrow. And it was someone who ran off the train because they were afraid. And then essentially that led up to her still meeting Hank in the other world and things like that. That could have been handled better. And then her being like she doesn't want to go back. And then upon listening to Hank and him talking to her and letting her know, they need help. The team need, like when I left them, they were in a bad way. Jason put them up a wall and who knows what else they got going on. If you're capable of going back, we need to go back to help them. We just need to. So, like, that would have been a far more heroic notion with all of them showing that, you know, and then, like, him still bringing up the fact that she jumped in the way. She's still a hero. She got her own criticisms about how she died and whatnot. But it's like, hey, you were still being a hero because that's the kind of person that you are. And we are able to go back to help. Let's help. Knowing that Hank was going to stay in the other world, stay dead, was like so fucking obvious. I hated it. And I was like, oh, they're walking across a bridge. I was like, he's not going to be able to make it. And I was like, his body blew up. He's not coming back to life. And I was like, this is stupid. But that was just, they didn't need to do that. But but for Tim, it started off right. Well, first of all, the actor who played Tim, no shot at him or anything like that, but Tim is white. Tim has always been white. Making him black, just like how you made Kid Flash black and every other inclination of like different characters that you keep trying to race swap, is fucking stupid. It's like he's black, Asian, mixed, and it's like that doesn't help. But just stop it. Fuck. Like, there's nothing wrong with making him white. Hell, how dope would it have been if they would have introduced another black character rather than make Tim black, and then you just have a black Batman kid. To actually like Batman. So when you race swap that, I get mad. I don't like that. And not only that, but Tim was damn near the same height as Dick Grayson, and he looked to be in the same age group. Like, he acted a lot younger for sure, but he didn't seem to be that much younger. And all things considered, you should have got a younger person to play the role. You definitely should have got a younger person to play the role, or a much younger looking person to play this role. But the actor that you got, it didn't fit. The dude seemed to be far more mature than Jason Todd, and he's supposed to be the second Robin. You see what I'm saying? It's like the third one should be fairly younger than Jason. And you definitely should have had more interactions between him and Batman. And not having that takes away so fucking much from the character itself. Really, really that was a huge turnoff for me from the third season. And upon his introduction to the character, I was fine with it. Him bringing up the information and stuff like that to Dick Grayson, explaining how he figured out his identity, is very much Tim Drake. He is someone who is of a detective mind, far more than any of the other Robins. Generally, in some of the comics, they would have it to where it's like if Batman's gone, he would be the best detective on the planet. So if they were to introduce or have more detective inquiries with his character, that would have been fine. And then you've had it where it was like a lot of stuff was just kind of lucky guesses rather than him deducing that that would be something. Like when Dick Grayson went to like an opening in the tunnels and he was like, I've seen Batman come out of this once before. And it was like, sure. And it was like, yeah, lucky guess. Sure. I guess maybe. All right. I can take it. You know, I can take it or leave it. I'll take it. It could have been anything, you know. It was like, could have had it to where it was like, obviously he was going to use this because you break down, blah, 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 blah. I overheard you doing this while I was following you because detective work, you know, investigative shit. Cool. That would have been far. It would have added more to his character and then hopefully would have been a useful skill that they would have had him use later on within the series. But they didn't. Hell, even his banter was shoddy and I didn't like that. You never cut the red wire. I was like, for the final episode, really? That's not. And then when Gar said it, I was like, why is it that it's funny when he said it? But when Tim said it, it was cringy. And Gar said it second. Fuck. It just came off as disingenuous and just really, really shite, if you will. But I did not like what they did with Tim after the fact that his first initial reveal of knowing who Nightwing was. Afterwards, you just made him this whiny little brat who just constantly was like, I want to be Robin, without proving or giving any testament as to why. Hell, the whole reason that Tim Drake essentially understands that their Robin is a necessity for Batman is the fact that he needs someone like Robin in order to stop him from being this violent monster. And then essentially that would have been a perfect thing to introduce him with, considering that this series decided to open up with Bruce Wayne killing the fucking Joker. Oh my goodness. And again, taking shots and taking away from Batman himself. The anger and the rage that comes from Red Hood initially starts off from the fact that Batman didn't do anything to the Joker upon finding out that he died or he was killed by him. So doing that and then having Bruce Wayne kill the Joker, Jason Todd upon reviving knows, like, that's common knowledge, and Jason Todd does absolutely nothing with that knowledge. It doesn't affect him any way at all. Just seems was another character shot that was just really fucking stupid. And then he named himself Red Hood in relation to nothing, rather than which is that he initially called himself Red Hood to get Joker's attention, and then it was something to mess with Batman so he couldn't really figure out who he was because it was a secretive thing. And it was just all pointing to like shit that involves the Joker and whatnot, and then bringing up what the Joker would, how that makes Batman feel, because, you know, he was older. The information on the Joker was the previous Red Hood, and all of that shit actually went into play with the detective aspect of figuring out the identity of the Red Hood. And without that notion, then you're left to wonder, why the fuck is he calling himself Red Hood then, without there being any relation to the Joker aesthetic of his character and how he feels because of Joker. I thought it would have been dope if it was a thing where it's like, again, like, just Bruce Wayne was just so destroyed that he just fucking left. Even if you was to have it to where he killed the Joker, because like I said, this thing wanted to be really edgy, fine, but still, it would have been better equipped if you was to have it to where Tim was the one who risked his life to save him. You know, he got some money to fly wherever Bruce Wayne was before he was about to kill himself, or Bruce Wayne hid himself away in some penthouse in Gotham, not giving a damn about nothing, or like a secret facility not even Dick knows about. Just anything, you know. It could have been anything. You know, he was out of town somewhere else, Metropolis, whatever, and then Tim deduced and found out that he was him, and then he explained and talked and stuff like that. And then, like, you could add it to where he revealed himself to Nightwing first, and then upon revealing himself to Nightwing, he saw some crucial information within Wayne Manor when he went there, and then he took that, and then he was able to deduce and figure out where Batman was. That just would have made a more compelling concept with Tim, and it just would have done so much for his fucking character, especially considering that he is the next Robin. So, of course, you're going to want the sidekick to go to his hero first rather than another sidekick or ex-sidekick. That doesn't, because now it's like you're the sidekick for the ex-sidekick. You're not the hero sidekick. Just weird. So it was like, that was just weird. But then you have him just essentially becoming whiny after the reveal that he understood and knew who Dick Grayson was. Then he was just constantly showing up and just like, I can help. Why don't you let me help? And it was like, doing what exactly? People have guns and you have absolutely no type of training and you're a regular nigga. What can you do? And it's just that vague notion and vague concept of a character going around being like, let me help. I can do something. Like in movies all the time when you have like a distilted daughter and there's like a father who's like a warrior or something like that. And the daughter's like, I can fight too, father. No, you belong in the kitchen with your mother. And it's like, but father, you taught me swordsmanship. I taught you it as a joke. I didn't think you could fought. Rod, get out of here and go to the kitchen. And then it's like, oh my God, she can fight. They've been doing that shit since the fucking Lord of the Rings. Because that one chick killed whatever that thing, that little shadow thing, and it was like, can't be killed by man. And it was like, I'm a woman. And it was like, and it like made like a mini black hole. And literally, same type of character concept. I can fight with you. Get out of here, lady. And it was like, if she wasn't there, you'd be dead. Oh. I'm pretty sure back in the day of Tolkien, like, yeah, that was a oh my God type of moment. But now I don't give a fuck. So having Tim just constantly go around throughout the entire season just screaming at the top of his lungs, I can fight, I can help, I need to be in Gotham doing this, it's my destiny. I know I'm supposed to be Robin. It's like, well, the audience know that you're supposed to be Robin, but you're not doing anything to prove that you should be a Robin. Dick is like, hell, even an intro. Hell, even when they introduced Jason Todd, it was more so in the thing where he was like, he's been hanging out with Bruce for a while, unbeknownst to Dick, who's basically been gone for a good minute. And even though he's been doing what he's been doing, like Jason Todd basically filled in all, like, you know, he was able to do all the stuff that was necessary for Robin. And so, yeah, he knew about the different secrets, knew about the twists and the tricks and all that stuff for being Robin and everything like that. But then you still had Bruce Wayne help out Dick Grayson, much like in the second season, which was pretty cool. And then I actually liked when it became with the back and forth between Jason and Bruce when they were basically trying to help him. During Jason's whole fear issue and trying to handle that, which was when Bruce was talking to him, where he was like, he's gonna just stop him from being Robin because he just need to be Robin in order for him to be his son. And it was like, yeah, you're taking something away from Jason. And then he was like, he felt slighted because of it, and it led to him rushing out to getting killed by Joker. That actually worked perfectly to me. That made so much goddamn sense. It was better than to me, it fit better in the show than trying to, you know, usher in a Ra's al Ghul type deal or something like that, or any of the incident from the Death in the Family actual storyline from how Jason Todd died. But essentially, in a far more realistic thing, you had him, like, from the beginning of the series, you know, he returned to Gotham, he was back being Robin with Bruce, and then he just went out on his own to try and take care of Joker. Even when they went further in detail as to what exactly he did, which led up to him going, thinking that he was capable of going up against the Joker, I was cool with. Now, I'll get into the whole thing with Scarecrow later, which was, that was the negative aspect of that. But other than that, I was cool with it. Even the reveal of, like, why, you know, the motherfucker was under the influence. And I was like, oh, you know, like that, just, which further developed the story and what was going on, things like that, which was okay. That was really okay. But it, those, like, that with that character was like a natural progression of that character, and then it fit closely with what essentially that character would have done in that situation and how the aesthetic of him play out correctly. While as with Tim, he got shot, and like I said, it was an unceremonious and stupid death. He got shot and then he was just dead, and he just kept whining that he was dead, like, no, I gotta go back because I gotta do something, I'm not meant to be dead. And then you just got Donna Troy constantly chastising him because, and I was like, yeah, he's acting like a little fucking whiny baby. And then upon him, like, then it was revealed, oh, someone's texting me. But then when it was revealed that, he, hold on, let me see. Wait, let me cut this shit off. But then when it was revealed that he didn't have his memories, and then upon him getting his memories back, yeah, like, that was okay, because then it was like, yeah, the notion of him feeling like, yeah, no, I know I'm not supposed to be dead. Like, yeah, that was fine. And then upon figuring out what it was, and it was like, yeah, but he's still doing the same thing. You know, like, he figured out who he was, and he had his memory back, and then he told Donna Troy he knew who she is, he knew who Hank was. And then it was like, yeah, like, what the team is going through, that was a neat little pick-me-up for Donna Troy to know that, like, yeah, it's, they kind of need you back because of what's going on with Gotham. But like I said, that really could have been anybody. But what I hated was that upon him actually coming back to life, that trait persisted. So you had Donna Troy basically talking to him and confronting him and whatnot, and then he still was just, I know I can help, I can do this, my family needs protection, I need to help Gotham because Gotham is my home, we don't need to leave. And it's like, what the fuck can you do? Even during like a fucking gunfight, he just stood behind the shield that like Donna Troy was holding up. It was like a side of a door or something like that, and it was being shot at, and he was standing behind it. He didn't need to. And then they both were just waiting. And then the people that were shooting at them never went after the legs. And then Donna Troy's like bulletproof. So not necessary. Or is she bulletproof? I'm not sure. But just not, it didn't make any sense. And like, hell, her character doing the dumb shit that she did, because it seemed like they were fortifying stuff, but they didn't. So it was like, it just constantly, like, it was like, we can get people to come here and then we can make a last stand here. Yeah. But then you see no other fucking actor in the entire series go to where Tim Drake's house is at. Hell, they even had a radio transmission explaining that they had a Titan helping them evacuate. And it was like, evacuate who? It's still the same immediate people that were there when you guys came up with a plan to help other people evacuate. Fucking retarded. And then you still just had Tim was constantly scream, I need to help, I want to stay here and help with the superhero people. And it's like, you bring absolutely nothing to the table. Why would we need you? We are endangering the life of a regular motherfucker. Hell, even the genius of Jason being introduced in the second season of Titans was, well, not in the second season, but when Jason was introduced within Titans, it was cool. Simply because of the fact that you had it to where it was like, you know, it was like Bruce moved on. And it was like, there's nothing Dick can argue with against. Like, you know, I don't think this kid is ready to be Robin. When it was like, it's not your call to make. It's Batman's call, you know? So it was like, oh, like, yeah. And like, he's an impetuous, crazy-ass kid cursing up a storm and whatnot. But there's nothing you can do about it. He's Robin now. So, again... you know, and it was like, and that was the second season. Yeah, so that was better. It felt better. And it's just tackling Tim could have been done a hell of a lot easier. Speaking of another character that was introduced and was kind of just like, nah, Blackfire. Now, season 3 did everything it could to basically make every single female within this series just kind of end on a happy note. Blackfire got powers. Her and Corey made up. They really know bad blood. She's fucking Superboy. And she's happy fucking Superboy. Just so much. Superboy blew up her ship and she wasn't mad about it. Because, whatever. And then he decided to rebuild her ship. Because, whatever. And there was no negative ramifications for that whatsoever. There was never a moment where Blackfire felt slighted, betrayed, or she needed to go out and get revenge or did something that was just off the wall. And then it led to Starfire just being like, oh yeah, no, we can't be cool. Hell, it would have been so cool if you had Blackfire kill the mom that like killed her son because he was an FBI informant, rather than Starfire, who then was like, that's not what we do, or something like that. But then again, it was like, yeah, you know, you have these people kill people all the time, and then you act like it's not that big of a fucking deal. Whatever. But it just really, everything just kept wrapping up nicely for them, for those people. And then I actually liked Blackfire's introduction within the second season, as her possessing the guy that liked Corey that was sent back to bring her back, led to where it was like, yeah, once you do this, they're going to die, period. Like, they're dead once this is over with. And it was like, so yeah, he's dead already. But it being where Starfire was just messing with her because of how easy she's able to get under Blackfire's skin, because that is her sister and they grew up together. So when she was like, yeah, when she did that, we had to lower the difficulty because she couldn't do it. And it was like, that's not true. And it was like, yeah, it is. And it was like, she's so much of a baby, she didn't even know it. And she was like, and she was still crying, and she's still out there. Like, well, that's because that. And it was like, yeah, I know it's you, Blackfire. And it was like, damn. And then Blackfire's basically the notion of her trying to use Starfire in order to get her to help her rule. It was like, yeah, all of that fit. And so then when upon the series actually introducing Blackfire, I was like, yeah, well, now you got a problem. So it would have been dope if they would have let that persist, but they didn't. Hell, even upon Blackfire getting Starfire's powers, I was like, okay, now we reveal that this was our plan all along. I was like, it might seem whack, but let's reveal it. But then it was like, no, it wasn't. But I was like, let's make it to where the misunderstanding just sparks a huge issue. And it's like, no, it didn't. And I was like, ah, so are we gonna do anything with Blackfire? Well, she's just the edgy Starfire now. What the fuck? Okay, well, Starfire doesn't have powers now, so now she has to go about doing things another way, because she doesn't have powers, which might lead to her getting her powers back from Blackfire or something like that. And it's like, nope, she just found new powers. Okay. And it was like, what? So there's no struggle whatsoever. Hell, they even had the entire town of Gotham turn on Dick Grayson for saying that he's the cause of the water being poisoned and whatnot. But the video that they showed was when Blackfire shot fire towards the damn thing, and then Nightwing tried to stop her before she did it. And it seemed as if it would have made more sense if everyone like criticized her greatly because of it, or it would have had a moment of Starfire essentially feeling bad because that happened. You know, and it was like, this is all my fault. And everyone trying to really talk her out of the fact that that happened. Even if Blackfire was to be like, you can't really blame yourself for this. And it was like, no, I'm rushing in because I wanted this shit to be over with, because I'm feeling this way about everything and I'm not doing what I normally do. And it all started upon dealing with you. But like, now I got these visions and I got all this shit happening. And it's like, this is, yeah. And it's like, that would have been cool for her character. But again, it would have been a moment of weakness. And this whole season has had basically nothing of the sort happen. They've had issues, sure, but nothing that was inherently like, yo, hey, like, buck up, chum. Like, hell, even introducing Raven the way that they did, she came in like 3 episodes near the end of the entire season, and she just kind of was casually walking around like, ah, whatever. And it's like, bitch can teleport. Why are you walking anywhere? So just, you can teleport and sense everyone, but you're like casually moving like, ah, whatever. Hell, even upon when, because I hated that moment when she was like, Dick's in trouble. And I was like, yeah, she know Big Brother in trouble. But then she was like, come with me. And then she was just walking normally rather than being like, Dick's in trouble. And I was like, why are we unhumanizing her? And I was like, she was possibly one of the more outgoing members of the Titans upon season 2 when they got rid of the whole brooding dark bullshit and her being like the emotional trauma she was going through. And I was like, we've had that Raven already. And it was like, and then the second season showing us like, yeah, no, she's still a fucking kid. She can interact with all of them. She's a kid who doesn't want to get treated like a kid, but she got incredible power and whatnot, but she's closely connected to a lot of them. So when Dick was hurt and she's walking around and can sense it, I was like, why didn't have her like full sprint run? And then you have Gar behind her like, Raven, wait. And then when she saw Dick and then he was supposed to be dead, or he was dead, it would have made for a bigger emotional conflict, because like, yeah, she was worried that the worst might happen. And then she actually saw it, rather than when she walked up, she was just stone face deadpan. And then upon seeing him, then it was like, oh my God. And she went into a full blown soap opera cry scene. And I was like, I don't feel that you feel this way. It just seems, it didn't feel like, you know, you were worried at all. And then upon getting here, like you sensed he was in trouble. Now he's just straight up fucking dead. So that was really weird. And it was like, they really could have did more. She was trained on that mascara, but then you still just had her do her magic powers everywhere. And I was like, so What was the point of that? Why was she benched damn near the entire season if it persisted to absolutely nothing? I don't know. I really, really don't know. And I mean, same thing with Donna Troy. Well, they kind of introduced her a lot. They introduced them basically at the same fucking time. But yeah, it was like this whole time these characters were like benched. And even Hank, it made more sense, who was in earlier episodes. And then upon being in the little land of the dead place, it was like, yeah, okay, I understand now. Yeah, you would be here. So that's okay. But I digress. No, I don't. I digress. That's actually a part. I said that wrong. I said that wrong. So the handling of the heroes itself just seemed really whack. They a lot of females didn't really go through anything or do anything that was essentially terrible. Hell, even upon Dove killing Hank, and yes, she killed him. She killed Hank despite the fact that she was told not to. She's the one who killed him. And then she immediately ran away from her responsibilities. Like, she just took the fuck off. Hank is dead. I'm going to Paris now. Like, Jason, the killer, is still out there. You would have been a conflicting member if you would have stuck around and basically would have been this voice that just wanted Jason's blood. Thus, the idea of Jason coming back to the Titans would have been a far more egregious thing. Because it's like, it's your fault Hank is dead. And him, you know, like having those little moments where he varied from wanting to go back to them and leaving Scarecrow and everything like that. You would have been a major voice that would have been against Dick in this aspect. As well, it would have shown a conflicting nature within your relationship. Which would have then easily justified and had and showcased, like, you know, there's no chance they're ever going to get together again. That would have been fine. Especially if you wanted to add another romance option with Dick Grayson, which was fucking weird, especially being Barbara Gordon. Ugh, I hate how much DC keeps trying to make her a thing, or how much everyone just tries to keep them to act as if Batgirl matters. She doesn't. She really doesn't. And definitely not that one. You know, it's Stephanie Brown and Cassandra. Come on now. So it was weird that they was handling all the female characters like that, because it was like it was noticeable. And I was like, immediately when Hank died, Dove was distraught, sure, but it seems like she would have, the way how she was acting up until that point, and then who she is, getting revenge would have been a far more concrete thing that she would have did, and possibly something that would have been an issue with everyone else within the team. And I would have liked that. Thus, like a lot of moments when it was like, you know, they're going to go and try to get Jason or something like that. And then you had Superboy and Starfire, you know, being against it. And I was like, yeah, if Dove was here, this would also make sense, you know? And then her being a major conflicting element as to where she constantly keeps trying to ambush and attack Jason while Dick Grayson keeps trying to talk to Jason. Something that would have just added more to the conflicting aesthetic within the team, which was something that we did within the second season. You know, these people call out each other on their bullshit all the time, so let's keep that gravy train going. That would have been fine. It would have been cool. But nah, I didn't do that. She just, oh, she's responsible. I'm gonna leave now. I'm gone. What? You know, it's like, what? See this shit through at least. Wait until the end of it. Then you can leave. But what? We still got problems. We still need help. Fuck you, lady. What? That was so whack. And then this leads us into the villain. Motherfucking Scarecrow. So, season 3, you can't talk about unless you bring up Scarecrow, who happened to be the villain of this season for Titans. Yes, I know what I said. This was a bad thing. This was a bad choice. It should not have happened. I understand the use of the fear of the fear gas and the fear toxin that Kane created and all that. But the idea of him being a villain that the Titans themselves would have to fight, especially him being a normal dude that can easily get beat the fuck up, and is not really that overwhelming of a threat in terms of his criminal mastermind history and whatnot, especially being as sporadic as it was to for what they showed within the season, where it was like, you know, you just bust him out, but it's not a plan that he's been cooking up over like years in the making or anything like that, which would have probably been a more understandable thing with him. It was just a quick little, you know, like upon talking with Jason, this happened. And then immediately I was able to get his body after he died, because why not? And I was like, what? So that was whatever. As I was able to get his body, and I know that Ra's al Ghul has a Lazarus pit. How the fuck would you, you're Scarecrow. Fuck. It's like, you're just Scarecrow. God damn it. Like, you're not that big on the, like, my goodness. It was bad. It was really bad. What made it worse is that the actor who played Scarecrow, in terms of actually being Kane, was great. He was fucking amazing. He was hitting that shit fantastically. No one could have played that character better. Like, and he was just destroying that role as Scarecrow. And I was like, see, now this motherfucker should have been on Gotham. Now, I liked what they did on the Gotham show in terms of Scarecrow, by making it to where he's like constantly in a state of fear because he's seeing the thing that he's terrified of the most all the time. And in his obsession with fear is just kind of a, he kind of stumbled into it because it's Gotham and he was a kid, you know, they had to keep him young or whatever, rather than him being a psychiatrist. But yeah, that's blah. But with this one, it was like, yeah, he was a known psychiatrist. Upon helping, he now works for the you know, he's on like the GCPD payroll in terms of like doing criminal cases and whatnot, because he's able to psychoanalyze a lot of the villains that they have to deal with, or a lot of criminals that they deal with and stuff like that. All of this shit made sense. Upon him getting out, he killed his mom after he was talking about how there's like parental issues. His mom got fucking Rorschach paintings on the goddamn walls. And she's a prominent psychiatrist who basically talks down to him as if like, you know, I want nothing to do with you because you're a disappointment and you're ugh. and like him talking with her. And then when like he was saying like, is a dark shadow figure sweeping down and stopping me from achieving my greatness. And I know I'm meant to be great. And then her basically protesting, like, is it Batman? You know? And he's like, what? No, it's a fucking metaphor. Like, you not understand? I love that scene. I love that scene entirely. I thought it was great. And then him, like, he was like, do you not understand? Like, how could you be so stupid when I'm talking to you? He's like, I'm smarter than you type of deal. And then you had it to where, and then he was like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Like, I'm sorry. Because it's like, it's still his mom. And I love that. I thought that was great, you know? Pass it out. That was fantastic. Yes, keep it coming. Keep that coming. Yes. But then after that moment and the constant need of him, even like how he was being analyzed by Bruce Wayne, like when they had him break into the Batcave, when he was in the Batcave and he was looking at his psych profile under Bruce's observation. I love that it was an astute observation for Scarecrow. And it was like, he doesn't actually throws himself into conflict. He uses other people to work for him. And it's like, yes, that's what Scarecrow does. And then upon Scarecrow hearing this, it makes him upset because he feels that like, no, I'm doing this, you know? And it's like, I'm not just using people. This is all me. People don't understand that. And essentially, it would have just been a perfect way to have him like either wear his old costume or wear his mask, which I thought he was initially going to do. But then they just had him cut up his face in some weird Joker-esque kind of situation. And then he himself was basically kind of going crazy, similar to Edward Nygma from the Gotham show. Now, here's the real terrible part of Titan Season 3. A lot that they did was a copy from the Gotham TV show that was on Fox. Cordon off Gotham by government, you know, and it's like they're stopping people from getting in or getting out because a bunch of people are going crazy. That happened on Gotham. There's a gas or something that went around that basically makes people just lose their fucking mind. That happened on Gotham. a bunch of citizens decide to hold up and fortify themselves to fight against the crazies, as well as a corrupt police unit. That also happened on Gotham. Like, all the shits happened on Gotham. And I was just wondering, like, why are you copying Gotham? We've did that already. You know, it's like they did that Gotham thing already. And I was like, you don't need to just solidify this is some bullshit happening within Gotham, and then the Titans are just stuck here. Much like with Slade, who just really could have been anywhere at any time, and like he was just catching them all off guard and whatnot. I didn't like that this essentially was just like being this one note fuck of just like, you know, this is just how Gotham gets down without there being any other incident or any other conflicting narrative that was going on within the story. There should have been another villain that was pursuing them. There should have been someone else that was, or something else that was like they all were having a trouble, a hard time with. Hell, they had Starfire have visions that basically made her sleepwalk and damn near keep trying to kill people. And then upon figuring out that it wasn't just Blackfire who was trying to talk with her, but actually her just having her own visions, it led to nothing. It led to her talking to this black lady, talking about the fact she got a sick baby. And for some reason, Starfire getting shot let her get a brand new power. And then it was like, well, upon what was this for? Like, and like, it took way too fucking long for nothing. And then it was like, how did that woman with a baby carry Starfire back to her house? How? Like, how, I ask you? I don't know, but somehow she did it. But Jesus. And it was like, yo, what the fuck was the point of it? And I was like, well, my husband died, and my husband and my son died, and now the only thing I got left is my baby. My story is sad, yes. And now I know that I have another superpower after I lost my power. Cool. But what was the point of the baby thing then? Why were you sleepwalking and circling around an area with the baby? Did you know you were going to awaken your power or something? Or was this a whack-ass way of trying to make a situation seem important when it wasn't? It was like, you didn't have to make it seem important, but it just could have been any old thing. It just would have woken Starfire's power. You could have easily had other things and other instances that were showcasing that she has something else inside of her. When she uses her power, her flame sometimes turns blue or something. Upon her getting angry and whatnot, something else happens, and like people have to calm her down, and she'd be like, I'm sorry, I don't know what's going on. And then upon saving the baby and the lady, she just feels like, for some reason, I feel like I need to help you. And then that leading up to that, rather than her still having the fever dreams, which then apparently just went away, even though that was actually a problem that she had and something that was doing fantastic for her character. It was like, this bitch keeps sleepwalking and damn near killing people. So, yeah, it was like, that's a problem. But then again, like I said, this season tried to have them not equate any of their problems. And hell, oh, I hate it when Donna Troy was like, don't Hank explain something to me. And it's like, I'm telling you something when you don't know. It's not like a mansplain. You don't know. Fuck. It's like, you literally have been dead longer than I have, and I'm trying to tell you what the fuck is going on. Also, weird thing, Donna died. Like, again, she's been dead longer than Hank, but Hank apparently has been doing more in the afterlife than she has, but she was on the same train that Tim was on. Shit don't add up. Hell, would have been better if the roles were reversed. Tim was on the train that Hank was on, and then Donna was the one that found them, and then she was explaining what it is, and then she would probably know more about it, considering that the Themyscira have their own way of believing and talking about shit and whatnot. But then, upon it seeming like Hank would have been the one to help out Tim, it then reverses, and then instead of it being like Hank is the one helping out Tim, and then Hank needs to go back, it reverses, and then Donna gets to go back. That would have been better. That would have made more fucking sense. But instead, it didn't. Like, it really didn't. It was really backwards. And then after that, having Hank meet up with his brother, which was cool. And I was like, yeah, it probably would have been a far more emotional thing if Hank wasn't the one going around making moves and whatnot, but instead he just stumbles into it and whatnot. But like, cause he just fucking died. Ugh. So that was a misstep on their part. But again, that's what girls do. So if I guess, but the idea and everything behind, like I said, with Scarecrow, basically just doing a whole bunch of weird, semi serial killer cliche shit. Where it's like, you know, when you have a crazy person dancing to music, in movies, that's apparently became a cliche. But I did like Scarecrow's taste in music because it had variety to me. Like, this nigga shaving, playing "Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls," playing some TLC. Like, that's different. But then being happy, and then hearing, Bruce's psych evaluation of him just cut that happy shit out. But then you had a moment where he basically was still him, the chubby, out of shape him, with a scythe or a sickle, and trying to attack Jason Todd with it. And then Jason Todd, with his gear on him, and still being Jason Todd, who basically whooped his ass not too long ago and knocked him out even, and still being in the mindset of being like a murdering psychopath, if you will, ran away, which made no sense. It's Scarecrow. He is not a human to be afraid of when it comes to anything. He was flailing that sickle thing around, which he didn't use ever again, but he was flailing that thing around badly, and you were able to dodge the hits. What the fuck are you doing? Moments like that just took away so much from the series as a whole. Oh, and don't get me started on Barbara Gordon. God damn it. Barbara Gordon had to be one of the single most things this entire series. Season. Yes, cool. Her being the commissioner, interesting. Cool. I like that. You know, it's something that they did in Batman Beyond. I don't mind it. I actually like it because it seems like something that she would do. But then it was what they showed from the past, in which case she was able to defend Robin, Dick Grayson Robin, by herself, one-handed, when she wasn't properly trained. And she was just kind of going around stealing shit to keep her father on his toes. And if anyone who knows how police work works, you would know that all that would do was just add to his workload and would be stupid, as it would accomplish nothing, because it's not the police's jobs for increasing security. It's who's ever placating the items of the museums and things like that. They would have to be the ones to pay for the security. That's not the cop's job. That's those places' jobs. But she was acting as if that was her father's responsibility, which wouldn't make any damn sense. And then she talked Dick Grayson, of all people, to help her steal. Like, literally, just fucking steal. And this was to showcase that they had a relationship not long, once upon a time. Cool, I guess. And then again, this did, much like with having Dove go back with Dick for whatever fucking reason, which was also a weird thing that they did within Titans, but it's like, hey, it's Dick Grayson, gotta slip his dick in something. But I preferred the way how they had him on the first season, which is more akin to how Dick Grayson actually is. Motherfucker, get around. He a hoe. He a big ass hoe, all right? having it to where I was like, yes, they had a relationship once upon a time, would have been better if that was something that was always like this little over, like this low hanging fruit between them, to where it was like different times where him and Barbara get into conflicts is simply because, you know, they're jaded about how the relationship kind of ended. Who knows who was at fault or what exactly happened. But yeah, it made it seem like it was such a big deal that he was shot by one of her people. But, you know, it just went as far as like being mentioned the first couple of times and then him getting over it. Then I was like, then why are we acting like it was such an emotional and traumatic thing for you then? It wasn't. So then what the fuck? And then again, something that she actually felt bad about. But like I said, the series makes the women in this like season just not really feel anything. So they kind of just swept that under the rug. Like, it was like, ah, we both made mistakes. And I was like, okay. And I was like, it seemed like, you know, we was heading towards some type of conflict here, but we didn't get there. Weird. Really fucking weird. But overall, you know, it was okay to watch. It was endearing. Like, I enjoyed watching the episodes, mind you. I just felt like they could have done a hell of a lot better with something else going on, not just solely focusing on Scarecrow, who isn't that big of a bad to begin with, let alone someone that the Titans themselves, these superpowered motherfuckers, would generally have to worry about. Increasing their numbers or having and placating other characters that could possibly show up and would have been endearing little additions to the Titans groups themselves would have also been fine. And it definitely warranted just some added element that would have just spruced up and kept the crazed nature that is the Titans. One of the things I thought of, I was like, for a criminal mastermind, why not have someone like, what is it, that brain that Beast Boy constantly has to fight, the thing that's known for like messing with the Doom Patrol or something like that. I don't know if he's on Doom Patrol though, but like just something, you know, it was like Blackfire should have stayed a villain or should have stayed relevant as some type of a villain or something like that, or did something, hell, going around trying to frame Starfire by using her powers to do evil and then Starfire getting upset with it, but still being a part of the Titans and like they're being okay with her, but then the rest of the world is like, this alien needs to go, which then ushers in other alien figures who are upset at the fact that Starfire's giving them a bad name or something like that, which could have led to more Titans being introduced. Instead of a Black Tim, why not Static Shock? I hate that these people, everyone loves to bring up Static Shock, but for some reason DC just doesn't want to do anything with him. I hate that. What, they even mentioned his ass in the DC fandom when they was talking about like their black characters, and it was like, you assholes don't do nothing with Static Shock. He is an incredibly popular character now. Fucking use him. God damn it. But whatever. So all of those things bad. Yes, they are bad. But the season itself wasn't overall terrible. It was actually good. It has a bunch of parts that are actually worth watching and a bunch of moments that are actually really endearing and just a nice little thing between all the characters. Hell, one of my absolute favorite moments is literally the end of the season when Dick pulls up in an RV and then Beast Boy gets it and he's like, road trip. And then he's like, yeah, who wants to fly in Bruce's private jet to get to San Francisco? I figured let's do a road trip to get there, which is something that was an endearing concept from Dick. It's something that builds up more character with the group as a whole, as well as something that these legit teenagers would like, you know, should be introduced into or have happened to just add on to their fucking character. It's a cool thing, you know, it's a cool little idea or a cool little thing that they had going on. So that was like one of my favorite parts. And then he was like, it's like a 44-hour drive. And Starfire's like, 44 hours. And he's like, yeah. And like, with Dick is like, oh, I'm pumped for this. Like, I want this to happen. And it's like, oh my God, like this corny motherfucker right here. I actually like that. And I was like, I wish that they had more moments like this throughout the entire season. I know that they couldn't, but they should have had more incidents or stuff like this happening. There should have been breaks within the tension. There should have been moments of lull where, you know, you got to humanize these characters more, much like within the second season when it came to them training or introducing Rose or them like seeking out, like, you know, and it's like, but the in-betweens, like when they're seeking out Deathstroke, but they didn't really know that he was spying on them or whatnot, or that you had the incidents or the issues with Jason Todd and all that. All of those things were fantastic. Also, the thing of having Dick Grayson have those fever concussion dreams when literally we did the same thing last season. Stupid. But yeah, and it was like, all of that stuff would have been cool and endearing because it just would have added more to the fucking characters. It would have gave them more of a personality, humanized them, if you will, considering the fact that they are humans. So yeah, and I was like, they had their jokes here and there and whatnot, but they were always in a constant state of like, hey, let's do something. We got to be doing something. Why are we not doing something? What was it? Oh, they even had Scarecrow Lee fucking clues like he was Riddler. Oh, my goodness. It's a poem. It's one of his poems. Like, what? See, he left when he first tried to poison or release his fear toxin. He left a bunch of poems at GCPD. Why would Scarecrow do that? They're like, oh my goodness. But yeah, you know, there could have been different things they could have done, much like with the last season when they had Dr. Light, who was a character that they all knew of and was aware of and was actually deadly. There could have been other persisting villains of the Titans, the former Titans group, have taken down that are now coming back for revenge, being a factor, as well as other entities colluding with them and whatnot. It's just, there's so much that they could have done, and they would have made it a hell of a lot more endearing and a better overall concept than the things that they actually did. I'm not saying it was terrible, but I'm not saying it was great either, but it could have been great. And that's really the main problem of Titans Season 3. This could have been great, but it wasn't. And so with that, I'm going to end it here. So thank you all for listening to me talk about this. Like I said, I just recently woke up. I finished watching it like yesterday. Just sat down and binged the whole thing. But yeah, for the most part, thank you for listening. I forgot this podcast. And this has been another episode of Fun with Flame. I've been your host, Daniel Flame, and as always, good people, hope you had fun.